Welcome to the Pen and the Yod. Rabbi Michael Siegel of Anshe Emet Synagogue in Chicago talks with author Jonathan Eig about this week's Torah portion of Vayachel, Living in the Shadow of Bezalel. What is your unique gift that God has implanted in you?
When you think of art, what comes to mind for you?
You know, I guess it's kind of one of those things, like if you were doing Family Feud, people would say Mona Lisa, right? That would be the number one answer. And when I think of art, I think of creativity, though. I mean, just to give it a broader answer, I think of expressing yourself in ways that are, they can be verbal, but I think in, you know, more creative ways. That would be my off the cuff definition of art, I guess.
So on the one hand, you're thinking of great works, some of the great works of our time, but you're also talking about literature and writing.
Yeah, I write for a living, but I don't think of myself as an artist, though. I think if I were a poet, maybe I would think of myself as an artist. So it's funny, there's a line there. I write biographies, I write journalism. I don't think there's an art, but then somebody would say that, you know, there's an art to plumbing, there's an art to brick making. If you do anything that expresses some of your soul, maybe that's where art comes from.
I think we're all artisans in our own way. And as the work of the tabernacle, indwelling place for God, goes on, we're introduced this week to the first Jewish artist. His name is Bezalel. The Torah tells us that he is a man who has wisdom, he has understanding, and he has knowledge, which the rabbis are going to kind of develop. But as interesting as that is, his name says so much. Bezalel, B-in Saul, shadow, El, of God. He's in the shadow of God. So what does that mean? Does it mean that this is a God-given talent, or that he sees himself in the shadow of God? So that's an interesting question. I think from the Torah's perspective, it means that his inspiration, his talents, his skills, in large part, are a gift of God. And I think that's a remarkable statement about each of us having some sort of gift. His gift was in the physical arts, but all of us have that gift. Are we Bezalel? Are each of us in our own way in the shadow of God?
Yeah, that's really interesting because, I mean, everything is a gift of God, but I won't take the discussion down that road. But do you think that we each have a gift from God? We each have so many gifts from God, but it's interesting to think that whatever your special talent is, whatever makes you feel like you, whatever touches you most is a gift from God. That's a beautiful idea. Whether your gift is being a good listener, or whether your gift is being a painter or a builder in the case of Bezalel, it's kind of lovely to think that this is a gift from God. And if it's a gift, you have some special responsibility to engage in it, right? If you think of it as more than just, oh, I just happen to be good at this, but you think of it as a gift, then does it carry some special responsibility that you have to do good with it, that you have to make the most of it? God gave me this. Oh wow. I better not be too lazy and blow it, right?
That's a wonderful way to approach it. If each of us has a contribution to make to society, and whether you are a plumber or a writer, an artist, a politician, everyone has a contribution to make. So on the one hand, Bezalel seems to indicate that we have to discover, part of our responsibility is to discover what our unique talent is, but then live with that awareness to make the most of that talent. Again, whatever you do, you can raise up to an art form. Do you remember the book Working?
Oh, yes, Studs Terkel.
It's a great book, right?
Yeah, sure.
But one of the points of Studs Terkel's book was that it doesn't matter what you do as long as you do it well. That image of the waitress who saw herself as a ballerina, mm-hmm. and that the way that she served was an art form. And I wonder if we've lost that idea in the larger society, that we've changed the prism, we've changed the focus from the art of living and making the best use of your talents to the art of making money. And that's what matters.
I'm going to accuse you of cynicism here. Usually you're the one who accuses me of cynicism. I don't think that we've lost that. I think that we've always romanticized the people like that waitress who sees herself as a ballerina. But we are just as lucky to be living among people who find the joy in wherever they are. Yeah, sure, there are plenty of greedy people out there who are only in it for the money. But I also know plenty of people who had their hopes of dreams dashed. They never made it as a singer, and they're happy singing to their children, or, you know, people whose careers didn't turn out the way they wanted, but are content with what they found instead. I don't think that we've gotten worse. I don't think we've lost that. I think it's all just a matter of your own ability to tap into what makes you happy.
But it's more than that. It's not just what makes you happy, but also how am I best using my God-given talents? I loved your example. It's not a matter of are you cutting albums if you're a singer, but do you not only find joy in music, but do you share that joy with others? How do we fulfill ourselves becomes part of the question. And how do we make a difference in society? It's not just about me, but it's what I do with those talents as well. And if we don't use those talents for the betterment of the world, then God must wonder in this framework, why did I give it to you to begin with? And are we best using our talents?
Yeah, I agree with that. And many of us may feel stymied, like that we're not being able to express ourselves as much as we would like, or we're not finding the audience that we would like, or the expression of our true selves, or for the work that matters most to us. Then you say to yourself, as long as I'm doing the best I can, as long as I'm putting everything I can into this work of art, and then it's up to the world to find it. You know, you can't always control for your audience. I mean, look at how many great artists have spent their lives in obscurity, their work only discovered after they were gone. Herman Melville, for example, died feeling like he had been a failure. So you have to then just say, did I do my best? You know, did I put everything, all of my talent into my work? And then you have to find a way to be content with that, I think.
You know, I had this funny thought as you were talking, that if you look at a synagogue service, you might think that the most important person there was the rabbi or the cantor. But there are a multitude of different roles that make the service work. The Torah readers, the people getting called up for Aliyot, the person who reads the Haftarah. There are all kinds of different pieces of that service, including the people who open the synagogue and make sure that it's running. All of them make the service possible. At the end of the day, the service couldn't function if you didn't have one of those pieces. And I think that's what the story of the tabernacle is all about. You're building this massive structure and people are contributing and they're weaving and they're doing all kinds of things. There's one person, Bezalel, who's going to bring it all together. He's the artist. But the bottom line is that everyone's making a contribution. Everyone is a Bezalel in their own way and making that contribution. And I think our services, in a sense, are a reflection of that because all of these roles matter. And the question is, do we make them matter in the way that we do them?
Yeah, and how do we make sure that the people doing those roles who don't get all the attention are respected and appreciated? And that's one of the real challenges, I think, that comes with being the leader for someone like you. I know, you know, Martin Luther King used to talk about it all the time. He said that, you know, he was the pilot of the plane, but the plane didn't fly without all these other people doing the building, constructing the thing and maintaining it and fueling it. And he recognized how difficult that was, inspired jealousy, it inspired resentment among people who didn't get the attention, or people who were doing work just like him, who didn't have the same booming voice and didn't have the same telegenic presence and never caught on as being popular. It's not always fair, you know, who gets noticed for their work and who doesn't.
There's no question about it. And especially with social media, people are getting noticed in all kinds of really interesting ways. In a way, it's democratized our society because someone can be seen, someone can have a following he or she would have never had outside of social media. I had a bar mitzvah boy recently who does all kinds of TikTok videos. And he's a pretty reserved kid. And he says, you know, I've got about 300,000 followers.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But he's using his talents in an interesting way. And part of the issue, I think, is societal. Can we acknowledge and honor everyone's participation in something and see us as kind of cogs in a larger machine? That's what I think was happening in the tabernacle. I think that's what goes on in a synagogue service. And I think that that's a really wonderful, wonderful approach to the larger society. All of us have a contribution to make. Yes, there will be those who have very special talents like Bezalel who are going to be seen and honored and respected. people like Michelangelo, people like Leonardo da Vinci. You know, there are these kind of once in a generation, once in a century kinds of talents that we continue to venerate today. It's a matter of gaining appreciation for the larger society and the role that each of us play, and to celebrate the gifts that we all have. In the end, I think we're all Bezalel if we acknowledge it and make use of it. We're all in the shadow of God.
Yeah, and these works help bring us together too, because the Tabernacle and the Sistine Chapel, those are gathering places, and they inspire more art. They inspire more people to live their best lives.
And we're lesser without it. In the early days of Israel, well before the state was established, one of the first institutions that was created in the country was the Bezalel Academy, which is the arts academy in Israel. So it was a place for Jewish artists to practice, to develop, and it's still in existence today. But here we took this name of this person who lived in the time of Moses, and we're saying it's not enough for us to farm the land. It's not enough for us to study Torah, but we also need to develop the spirit of the arts to become whole people. There is a role for the art in that sense as well to this very day. And I think that that's a wonderful note to leave on, that an appreciation for all things includes a hearty appreciation for the arts.
Couldn't agree with you more on that.
Well, thank you, Jonathan. Take care.
Thanks.